So like I said, I'm so glad you guys are here with us this morning. We're continuing our series on something to be afraid of. And I was thinking this week that as you look through the Bible, one of the things you'll discover is story after story of people who had something to be afraid of. I mean, think about it for a minute. You had Adam and Eve, who right after, this is right at the beginning of the Bible, right? Right after they had sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, what did they do? They went and hid. Why did they hide? Because they were afraid of God. A little bit later, you've got Moses, who after he killed the Egyptian, fled Egypt. And the reason why he fled Egypt is because he was afraid of Pharaoh. You've got King Saul, who was afraid of David. And why was he afraid of David? Was because everybody liked David more than they liked King Saul. You've got Elijah the prophet, who fled into the wilderness. Why? Because he was afraid of King Ahab and his evil wife. Then if you flip over to the New Testament, you've got stories like Joseph of Arimathea. If you remember that guy, he was the guy who offered up his tomb for Jesus to be buried in temporarily after Jesus was crucified. And in John, what we read about Joseph was that he was a secret disciple of Jesus. I just find that interesting. A secret disciple of Jesus. But then it tells us why. He was afraid of the Jewish leaders. See, throughout Scripture, what you find is story after story after story of people who had something to be afraid of. Well, what's interesting is some of those stories tell us what we should not do, and some of those stories really set an example for us to follow. And what I want us to do today is look at one of those stories that sets an example for us to follow. The story is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. It's a story that I'm sure most of you have heard sometime in your life. It's in all of the children's Bibles, so if you're a parent, you probably read this story to your kids. VeggieTales even made an episode on this story called Rat Shack and Benny. You know, you can look that one up later. Like I said, it's found in Daniel chapter 3. And so as you're opening up your Bible to that chapter, let me kind of give you some context what's going on in the book of Daniel and why the book of Daniel was written. Well, around 600 BC, what happened was the Babylonians invaded Israel and basically decimated the entire country. And that was a judgment of God. The Israelites were disobedient to what God had told them to do. And he told them over and over again that if you don't repent, eventually I'm going to send the Babylonians in to take you out. And that's exactly what happened because the Israelites didn't repent. But then in 605 BC, what happened was that the Babylonians rounded up all of the best and the brightest Israelites, marched them across the desert to Babylon as exiles. And the reason why they did that is they wanted to re-educate or re-indoctrinate these Israelites into Babylonian culture and Babylonian religion and Babylonian way of thinking. Well, four of these men that were marched across the desert as exiles are very famous. You have Daniel, whom you probably know as Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel, that Daniel. And then you have three guys by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Today's story involves those three guys. And here's kind of what happens. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, had built a gold statue that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And after he built this gold statue, he commanded all of the government leaders to this dedication ceremony. And while they were at this dedication ceremony, he made a special announcement. And you probably remember his announcement. His announcement was something like this. No matter where you're from, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe or what your religion or whatever, if you live in one of the Babylonian provinces, if you live in one of the Babylonian territories, whenever you hear some music playing, you are to bow down and worship this gold statue. And if you don't bow down and worship this gold statue, there's going to be a consequence. And this is the consequence. Look at verse 6 here. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now look at that for just a minute. Because when you look at this declaration, I think that sounds like something to be afraid of, don't you? I mean, the truth is, all of us would be afraid of the prospect of being thrown into a blazing furnace. I mean, that is terrifying. This is something to be afraid of. Well, what do you think happened? Well, what happened was what the king expected to happen when he commanded that everybody bow down and worship the statue. The music played, and everybody bowed down and worshiped his gold statue. everybody, that is, except three Jewish guys, whose names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, as you may remember from the story, some government leaders found out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down and worship the statue, that they refused to bow down and worship the statue. And so what these government leaders did is they turned in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the king. And this was kind of how they tattled on king, on these three guys. Look at what it says. It says, "But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty." And look at what they say. "They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of the gold, the image of gold that you have set up." Now, read that again. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. They won't serve your gods, and they're not obedient to what it is that you've told them to do. Basically, these guys, they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under the bus. Well, as you can imagine, this news did not sit well with Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, the story tells us that he was furious with rage when he heard that these guys had disobeyed his order. And, I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he was the king. He should be feared. He should be obeyed. And yet these three guys, they didn't seem to fear him. And they definitely weren't obeying what it is that he told them to do. So he decided to give them one more chance. One more chance to bow down and worship the statue. So he brings them in and he says this. Look at what he says. Verse 14. "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Now, he knew it was true, but he's, you know, giving them a second chance, right? Goes on. "Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good." Like if you're able, or if you're willing to do what I told you to do, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you do what I commanded you to do, bow down and worship the statue, then we'll kind of pretend like this little situation never happened. We'll kind of sweep it under the rug. Everything is going to be good. If you'll do this, everything will be good. But, look at what he says. "But, if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? If you don't, here's the consequence. Here's what's going to happen. Immediately, I'm going to throw you into a blazing furnace. And then what God, any God, what God is able to rescue you from my hand?" Put another way, I think you could ask his question like this. "How can a God that you cannot see rescue you from the king whom you can see? How can a God that you cannot see rescue you from the king whom you can see?" Now, let's be honest. That's a pretty good question. That may even be a great question. I think it's a question where a lot of us stumble. We're not sure how we would answer that question. We're not sure if we were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how we would respond to this question. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew exactly how to respond to that question. And what we see next is, I think it's one of the most powerful speeches in all of Scripture. Look down at verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter.'" Now let me stop there for a minute and let's focus on the first thing that they said. "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." In other words, what they're saying is, we don't need to explain to you why we're doing this. See, for some reason, if you're like me, a lot of times when somebody questions our faith, we feel the need to explain ourselves. We feel the need to defend ourselves. Or maybe we go so far as to get defensive when someone questions us or when someone confronts us about something. But what they do is they don't do that, right? Instead of getting defensive, they let their faith speak for itself. I think we need to be people who let our faith speak for itself, which is what we read them say next, what they illustrate for us. It says this. It says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Now think about this verse for just a minute. I want you to look at it closely because these three guys mention two separate things here. First, they say that God is able to deliver them from the blazing furnace. And second, they say confidently that God will deliver them from the hand of the king. In other words, I think this is their way of saying that our God that we cannot see is more powerful than you, king, that we can see. He is able to deliver us from your blazing furnace. He is able to deliver us from the fire. And he will deliver us from you, king. Now, notice they didn't say how God would deliver them. God could deliver them from the king by rescuing them from the blazing furnace. Or God could deliver them from the king by ending their temporary life and bringing them home to be with him. Right? They don't say how. They just say God could do either. So if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But next, what we're going to read, I think, is one of the most profound, one of those most courageous, one of the most powerful statements of faith in the entire Bible. Look at what they say. But even if he does not, even if he doesn't do what we want him to do, even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty. They're so respectful, even. It's incredible. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, we all know how the story ends, right? Or at least I hope you know how the story ends. We know that God rescues, or they actually get thrown into the blazing furnace, and God rescues them from the blazing furnace. We know that. We know how the story plays out. But remember that at this point in the story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no idea how the story was going to end. They had no idea what was going to happen. But here's what they did know. What they did know was this. You can switch to the next one. God was able to deliver them, and he could be trusted even if he chose not to deliver them. See, what they knew was that God was able to deliver them, and that he could be trusted even if he chose not to deliver them. I want to ask you a question. Do you trust God that much? Do you trust God that much? That when you're faced with something to be afraid of, when you're faced with a difficulty or a challenge or whatever, that your God is able to deliver you, but that he can be trusted even if he chooses not to deliver you? Do you trust God that much? See, I think that's what God wants from us. I think when there's something to be afraid of, what God wants from us is to trust him. God wants us to trust him as much as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted God. God, he wants us to trust him regardless of what it is that he does for us. He wants us to trust him because of who he is. He wants us to trust him because he is the God who is able. He is the God who is more powerful than whatever it is that we can see. And he is the God who will deliver, even if he doesn't deliver how we want him to deliver. He is trustworthy. So in light of that, what I want to do is I want to give us a prayer that we can pray whenever we're afraid, whenever there's something to be afraid of. And what my hope is that this prayer, which we actually are going to take from King David, King David mentions it in Psalm 56, verse 3. This prayer really is something that all of us can pray whenever we're confronted with something to be afraid of. Look at what King David prays. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Will you say that with me? When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. It's a simple prayer. It's not long. It's really short. Sometimes we think we need to pray these long, profound prayers when we're talking to God. But no, when we're desperate, when we're afraid, when we're fearful, whenever we're confronted with something and we're not sure how it's going to work out and it seems to be against us, this simple prayer is a great thing for us to pray. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I think that this should be our approach to all the things out there that we have to be afraid of. Whether it's COVID-19, whether it's a potential job loss, whether it's financial insecurity, whether it's an uncertain future, whether it's when someone we love dies or whatever, that we can pray, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I want you to do one thing this week, one homework assignment for you, and that is that you would pray this prayer whenever you're afraid. Whenever something pops up that causes you to worry, because worry is just another version of fear, right? We're just usually fearful of something that we've imagined a lot of times. But whenever you worry, whenever you're confronted with something that's actually frightening, whenever you have an experience that seems to overwhelm you, that seems to be beyond you, this week that you would pray this prayer. When I'm afraid, God, I put my trust in you. I want us as the Hub City Church family to be a community of people who place our trust in God when we're afraid. Why? Because we have a God who is able and who is trustworthy, even if he doesn't do what it is that we're asking him to do. He can still be trusted. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Why don't we pray that together right now? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this story and for the example that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego set for all of us to follow. Their faith, that they knew what you were able to do. They recognized how powerful you were. They recognized that you were more powerful than the most powerful king on the planet at that time. And even though they couldn't see you, they knew you were more powerful than the king that they could see. And they trusted you to deliver them. And they knew that you could have delivered them by rescuing them from the fire, or you could have delivered them in some other way, but they trusted you no matter what you chose to do. And they were willing to obey you no matter what. And that is my prayer for those of us who are part of the Hub City Church family, that we would trust you no matter what. That we would trust you when we're afraid, that we would trust you when you're doing what it is that we ask you to do, and that we would trust you when you're not doing what it is that we ask you to do, because your ways are higher than our ways, and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and you know things that we don't know, and you see things that we don't see. And so, God, help us to trust you. If there's anything that we can take away from the past 2 months, it's the fact that we need to trust you, because you are the only solid and firm foundation that exist in our uncertain and crazy world. God, thank you for being trustworthy. We worship you because of that. It's in Jesus' name we pray.